Matthew chapter number 8. When he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou, tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. That's the book of Matthew chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, if correctly read. Now the scripture says in the very first verse that Jesus was come down from the mountain, and that mountain was where he had just preached the Sermon on the Mount, the greatest message that had ever been preached. And multitudes, after he finished preaching, were still following him. Seems like nowadays when most of us preachers preach, nobody wants to be around you. Everybody's mad at you. But they were still following Jesus. And he spoke some hard words to understand, but they were words of truth, and the people gleaned on every word that Jesus had spoke to them. The Bible says that they began to follow him. Look with me at the last verse of chapter 7. You see, when Jesus spoke, he taught them as one having authority and not as the scribes. Oh, to have heard him preach. What a blessing. People knew about his authority. I thought about folks that are in authority. Jesus is the greatest authority that will ever be. There was one time the governor of Massachusetts has gone to a barbecue dinner at a church, and the little lady was behind the table serving all the people as they went through, and the governor was very hungry, and she put one piece of barbecue chicken in his plate. And he stopped for a minute and he said, Ma'am, do you know who I am? He said, I'm the governor of Massachusetts. I want another piece of chicken. She said, Sorry, sir, one piece per customer. He said, But ma'am, I am the governor of the state of Massachusetts. She said, Do you know who I am? She said, I'm the lady serving the chicken. And you're getting one piece of chicken. I'm in charge of the chicken. Our Savior is in charge this morning of all things. He said all power was given to him in heaven and in earth. And he just happens to be my Savior, the all-powerful one. He's the one we worship this morning. Amen. Look with me over in the book of Matthew, chapter number 28, verse 18. I want you, if you've never underscored this in your, I just quote it to you, but if you've never underscored it in your Bible, I want you to see it. Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power, that speaks of authority as well, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Amen. Flip over to the right one more page or so and go to Mark chapter 1 and verse number 27. This is after Jesus has cast out the demons. Look what was said. And they were all amazed, insomuch that they questioned among themselves, saying, What thing is this? And what new doctrine is this? For with authority commandeth he even the unclean spirits, and they do obey him. Turn with me to the book of John, chapter number 3 this morning. Jesus did miracle after miracle. He has the power and he has the authority. In John chapter 3, even the religious crowd recognized it in verse 2. Speaking of Nicodemus, the same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Even the religious crowd recognized the authority that Jesus had. When I think about his authority, I think about he has authority over all things. And again, he just happens to be my Savior. When I look at the book of Matthew then in chapter number 8 and verses 1 and 2, I see number 1, the condition of the leper.
Now again, Jesus has just finished preaching, and there comes a leper to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we immediately understand the condition of the leper. A, he was diseased. Leprosy is where a small spot that may appear as a white patch or a pink patch may appear on the skin. And quickly it will fester. It may turn into a boil. It will get so bad on your skin that it will turn your skin a putrid white looking color. It'll cause your hair to completely turn white. It causes your fingers to begin to lose their ability to feel. The nervous system is being attacked and you can't feel any pain. Many have burnt their fingers off or have chopped them off, didn't even feel pain. And if that doesn't happen, they will rot completely off and the toes will rot and decay and fall off. The nose cavity itself will cave in and you can literally see where people are breathing. The lips will curl up. Many lose their eyesight because of leprosy. And not to mention what happens to their ability just to be able to get around. It is complete misery. They have said that it is a type of living death. Ulcers all over the skin and even their throat. They'll begin to lose their voice and all they can speak is in a hoarse, raspy, kind of a gravelly voice. Even when they speak, they are so diseased. It attacks then the inner organs and will bring on certain death. But a person can live with leprosy maybe 20, 30, 40, even 50 years. I was looking at pictures. I'd love to have a screen this morning to show you some pictures of folk who are living right now with leprosy. It would horrify you this morning to imagine the diseased condition that this leper was in. But not only was he diseased, but point number B would be he was despised. To the Jews, they believed if you had leprosy, you were being punished by God and that they considered you an outcast. It's also very contagious. You couldn't get around others. You couldn't touch anybody. You couldn't go to the temple. You couldn't be in the synagogue. You couldn't go back to your house. You were separated outside the city walls from then on. And if you got around anybody, you had to scream the words, unclean, unclean, warning folks of your loathsome condition. And the people, they despised the lepers so bad that oftentimes that even the righteous men would throw stones at them to drive them away. Imagine this morning having a disease so vile and so loathsome that you couldn't even come to the house of God. The one place you could get help, you couldn't even attend. And even if you tried to show up, folks would stone you, not just with their words, but with actual rocks, and they would try to kill you if they could. The leper was greatly, severely diseased, and he was also despised by the entire society that surrounded him. But they were also destitute. They couldn't work. They couldn't serve on a job. They basically ran out of money. All they could do was beg. Folk would come and maybe set down a meal for them as the lepers cleared where they were and screamed, unclean, unclean. And folks would pick up maybe some plates or some type of pots and pans and leave them a meal and then go back in the city walls and then the lepers could come eat. There was no fellowship. There was no contact whatsoever. They were completely destitute. Of all the people that lived upon the face of the earth, they tell me that the loneliest person would be a person who had leprosy. Now think then, D, about death. It is living death. If you can't talk to anybody, if you can't touch anybody, if you've got a disease that you can't feel anything, you're losing your eyesight, your inner organs are suffering and shutting down. He is walking around with living death all around him. It is he can't feel a lot of pain, but my friend, the pain that he feels is not a physical pain, but it's an emotional pain. It is a spiritual pain to be completely separated and isolated from all contact. I looked this up in the book of Luke, the parallel passage in chapter 5, and it's in verse number 12. The scripture says that this man was full of leprosy. He didn't just have a little spot here, there, yonder, and called it leprosy. He was full of leprosy. You see, he was nothing more than living death. We see, first of all, this morning, the loathsome condition of the leper. Two, I want you to see the compassion of the Lord. As Jesus was preaching, he comes down from the mountain and multitudes are following him. And I want you to notice the resolve of the leper. The scripture says, there came a leper and worshiped him. I've already told you the leper had to stay outside the city walls. Jesus is no doubt outside the city walls as he comes down from preaching the Sermon on the Mount. But the leper would have to scream, unclean, unclean, as multitudes approached him and they would avoid him like he had a plague, and he did. And can you imagine this leper as he screams, unclean, unclean, he sees Jesus. When he sees Jesus, he recognizes one that has authority over his disease. And he says, I've got to get to Jesus. And he gets up from where he's been living in grave clothes with rented garments and having to put a handkerchief or some type of cloth over his face. And he removes that and he goes to where Jesus is. You see his resolve. I'm sure that he's defying the law. I'm sure that he realizes he's going to die if he doesn't get to Jesus. And not only that, but then I see the reverence. The Bible says that when the leper with resolve came to Jesus, that he worshiped him. Other passages will tell us that he knelt down before our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He recognized who Jesus was. Jesus is the Son of God. And the leper had faith to believe that. And he worshiped him. Listen to his request. Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Now, he understands who Jesus is. He is the Lord. I like that. The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, Lord, if thou wilt. Why did he say, if thou wilt? Is he questioning Jesus' authority? Is he doubting who Jesus is? Oh, no. He's not doubting who Jesus is, or he wouldn't have called him Lord. When he says, if thou wilt, what the leper's saying is, Lord, are you looking at me? I know that I'm unworthy. Yes, we are. And I know that you have the right to refuse me because you are the Holy One. You are the Righteous One. And I am rags of sin, a filthy, unclean sinner. You have the right to refuse me. He said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. He did not say, Lord, if you would, you could make me better. Are you hearing me? He didn't ask him just to make him better. Improve my condition. Help me to feel just a little better. Oh, no. He said, I want you to make me clean. I want to be whole again. I want to hold my family. I want to take a hold of my children and hug them. I want to go back to the house of God. I realize now all that I had before that I've lost. Lord, I want you to take my life and make me clean. Oh, that somebody at Bethel today would recognize the putridness in the state in which you currently live. That you would recognize the unhappiness of your soul and the longing for something greater today than what you presently have. That somebody here would say, well, I'm not an outcast to Bethel. I fit right in. But I'm an outcast when it comes to Jesus. I'm a stranger from the covenant of promise. I'm without God and without hope in this present world. If that preacher in that pulpit just knew who I really was and how I'm living my life, I am that leper myself. Oh, but I have good news for you. Jesus is passing by this way today, and there's people here who are following Him. And if you would, you could come to an old-fashioned altar and come to Jesus and say, Lord, I know I'm unworthy, and I know you have the right to refuse me, but if you would, sir, you can make me clean. That means that you can give me a new life. You can create in me a new heart, and you can make me a new creature with a new nature. He can do all those things this morning. Somebody here, I'm telling you, you've tried to turn over a new leaf. I'm not talking about improving you or making you better. I'm talking about God through Jesus Christ changing your life and giving you the wholeness and the cleansing that only salvation can give you through the blood. When this leper comes with that request of Jesus, I want you to see Jesus' response. The Bible says in verse 3, and Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. You see, Jesus does the unthinkable. If you had contact with a leper, you would surely catch it yourself. It's so contagious. The Bible says, according to the law, that no man could have contact with the leper. I was reading a study by George Barna, and this is what he said. He said that every human requires at least 8 touches per day. Some of you are like, don't get in my space. This is just where I am. But I'm going to tell you something this morning. That there is something, whether you need 8 touches human-wise or not a day, I do not know. But I know this spiritually speaking, that there is a touch that we need. And it's the touch by the Master's hand this morning to change our lives forever and ever. We've got to have it this morning. And Jesus did the unthinkable. He that was holy and harmless reached out and touched he that was wicked, he that was putrid. He touched him. What he was saying is, I'll take your disease. I'll take your sin upon myself. And I have the authority over it. And it will not. I will not contract the disease because of contact to you. I will heal this loathsome disease. I will put it on its heels and cause it to run and turn it into cleansing. You face a trial today. You do not know where you're going to turn. You do not know what's going to get you through. Oh, but if Jesus could just lay his hand on your life right now, and you could feel his power and his authority in your life, oh, it would be such an encouragement. It would be such a help. Oh, I wish you'd be like old Casper, my dog. He come running up to me this morning. He was outside, and he was thinking about how warm it was today. And he come running up and began to bark to get my attention. And you know what he did? He ran up beside my leg and kind of brushed up against me. In other words, he was saying, Master, just pat me on the head this morning. Tell me I'm still your dog. Tell me I'm still going to get a meal when you get home. Tell me you're still going to fill my water bowl. Tell me I'm still pretty. Tell me I'm still white and fluffy. Tell me I'm still yours. I told old Casper, I said, Casper, good morning, buddy. You're still my pup. I think you're still a good dog. That's what I told the dog this morning, amen. Some of you, you want to cuss your husband and tell your wife off, and you want to kick your dog and yell and scream at the cat. But even the dog wanted the touch from his master. And I say to you today, there are Christians in this house. You desire the touch of Christ in your life. And there's people here, no doubt, under the sound of my voice, you've never been saved. You're so tired of living the way you're living. But this morning, you've heard the message that if you'd just come and ask him, he'd touch you. And listen what he said. He said, I will. That's His will, that nobody would perish, but that all should come to repentance. He said, I will be thou clean. I go to the hospital and I pray with people. I say, oh God, touch Brother Dennis, make him feel better. But when Jesus comes, He says, Father, I pray he'd be made whole. Amen. And the sick sat up and began to shouting and rejoicing. Hey, He would shut a good hospital down. Amen. Amen. Glory to God. I say this morning, church, that what we need is a touch that only Jesus can give. And what was the result of His touch? Immediately, his leprosy was cleansed. Can you see the tears that were streaming down this man's face when he called on Jesus? He said, Lord, if you would, if you will, you can make me clean. Can you hear the crowd as Jesus touches that man that was such a wicked, putrid, loathsome sinner? Can you hear the crowd as they go, oh, why would he do such a thing? He said, I will. Be thou clean. And immediately, as he opens his eyes and he looks, his sores and his spots, they're gone. He stands and he looks at his hands where many of his fingers had fallen off and were stumps. They are restored. He has his feeling back. Pinch me. This is more than I could have ever dreamed. He has his complete health back, but most importantly, he has been given salvation. Eternal life is now his. Oh, I remember the day when Jesus saved my soul. You remember what he did for you? Immediately the results came immediately to your life. Can you see him now with this new skin and these new fingers and toes and new feeling in his life? Can you see him as he takes off his old robes of his old rags of putridness and rags of death? Can you see him as he takes that old, he said, Lord have mercy, I'm clean. I'm wearing dirty garments. Boy, I tell you what, ain't nothing make you feel good like a good bath and then getting on some fresh, clean clothes. He said, I'm tired. Can you feel that? I'm tired of wearing these old rags. I'm tired of being outside these city walls. I'm getting off these old filthy rags, and Jesus is going to clothe me with rags or robes of righteousness. I say amen this morning. Listen now. We've seen the compassion of the Lord. But I want you to see thirdly this morning the confirmation of the law. The confirmation of the law. Jesus saith unto him, see thou, tell no man. But go thy way, show thyself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. Two things about this I want you to see in this confirmation of the law. First of all, he told him, he said, see thou, tell no man. In other words, he says, I want to silence you before the people. You may say, preacher, now wait a minute. Why would he want to silence me when he's done such a wonderful thing? You see, Jesus, are you listening to me? Does not want people to follow him for the miracles. That shows his authority. He wants them to follow him because of the message. Jesus saves, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. No doubt this morning, if I'd said, everybody that comes to Bethel will receive $100 today, this place would have been packed out. They'd have been lined up out here to get their $100 in religious rites. And if I'd have said, oh, I'm going to give you $500 every week you're here, it'd have shut the government down because everybody been lined up here for what they could have got out of it. We could give them a check for $100 or $500. They'd leave here pretty happy. But it really hadn't helped them at all. Maybe some of them's crackheads and they want to spend it on more dope. Maybe they want to spend it on more alcohol. Jesus said, I'm not interested in those miracles as much as I am the message. The truth that transforms your life. I want to give you eternal life. That far outweighs some $100 or some $500. He says, I don't want you to go tell nobody, because people start following for the miracles and not for the message. You see, what would happen is miracle mania breaks out. You ought to see this guy. Miracles are taking place. Look what he's done. We hear this stuff. In fact, it happens in chapter number 9. Look with me. When Jesus took two blind men, he touched them. The Bible says in verse 30, and their eyes were open, and Jesus straightly charged them, saying, see that no man know it. In chapter 12 of the book of Matthew, in verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all, and he charged them that they should not make him known. I want to tell you what was going on. The crowds and the multitudes prevented those who really needed Jesus from coming. I want to show you why. Mark chapter 1. I'm almost done, I promise. Mark chapter 1. When Jesus told this man, be silent about it, don't go tell anybody. Look what he did in verse 45. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. And they came to him from every quarter. People still came. But because of miracle mania, he couldn't do what he wanted to do. What do you want to do? Verse 38. Let us go into the next towns, that I may preach there also, for therefore came I forth. He said, I don't want you to tell anybody. And he went and told it. But I want to say this morning. The first thing, are you hearing me? The first thing any one of us, when we get the touch of Christ and our life is changed, the first thing we need to do is be obedient to his voice. Now, he didn't tell us to silence the message like he told him. He told us to share the message. Spread it abroad. And isn't it amazing that we always do the opposite? We just clam it up. We won't tell anybody. So he was not obedient. Go with me back to the book of Matthew. I'll be done. Matthew chapter 8. He tried to silence him. But I want you to see, second of all, he told him to go show himself to the priest. Now, why did he want to show him to the priest when he was already healed? Well, the law, according to Leviticus 14, if you had been a leper and you had been diagnosed with it, and now you're cleansed, the law in Leviticus 14 says you're to go to the priest. He would examine you to see if there's any spots on you, white hairs or ulcers or whatever. And when he sees you as clean, he'll take two birds. Are you hearing me? He takes two birds. The one bird he kills. And he takes the blood of that bird and he sprinkles the blood on the other healthy bird's wings. And he frees him. And as that other bird flies away, blood is just dripping. You see, the leper will know, because leprosy always represents sin. The leper will know that the only real cleansing is through the blood. See it as he goes away. Then the priest would keep that man 7 more days and examine him a week later exactly. And if he still has no spot, they'd take a lamb. They'd shed his blood. And this is what they'd do. They'd put the blood on the right ear of the leper that was cleansed, and on the right thumb, and on the right big toe, so that everywhere he goes, he'll know that his life has been forever changed because of the blood. You see, when those priests saw this leper come in and say, hey, fellas, I'm healed. What happened? There's a man named Jesus. He touched me and he changed my life forever. There's that blood. Jesus not even shed it yet, but he's going to, amen? And then they look at him 7 days later and they offer the blood of that lamb. Hey, who's changed your life? Jesus, a man named Jesus has changed my life forever. and that religious crowd, those priests, you want to talk about a witness to them? There's a man in town. We've never seen anybody come in here that said some man had cleansed them from leprosy, but we've heard about a man named Jesus, and the miracles testify of Jesus' power. You see, all the law could do is condemn that man as a leper. The law could not heal him. You with me? But a man named Jesus could. And then the law, all it can do is it can confirm that man has been cleansed. The law can't change him, but Jesus can. You see, the law is our authority. But Jesus' authority is greater than the law. Woo! I like that this morning, don't you? So I want to say in closing this morning, this leper sees that opportunity to make things right in his life. It's a shame it had to get so bad before he'd go to Jesus. You hear what I tell you? If a leper, vile, wretched, and unclean, would seize the opportunity to get to Jesus, what is your problem? I mean, today, without Christ, you are completely hopeless. Without my Jesus today, you are completely helpless. Let the leper testify to you. He's a walking miracle today. Let me testify to you. That leper is an analogy of my life. Putrid, rotten, filthy, sin, yes. And Jesus touched my life and forgave my sins and saved my life and cleansed me, and I'm on my way to a place called heaven. Are you going to go with me?